Hello, Annie Trenders. Welcome to the Girl Talku, hosted by the ladies of Anime Trending. If you're looking for nice tea and deep dive analysis about otaku things, you've come to the right place. We love our conversation and discussion, and we're back with another fun topic on the table. My name is Gracie, and I'm joined by...
Hello, I am Isabel, and...
This is Agnes.
So, without further ado, the Girl Talku today will be about ISTJ anime characters. This was the next MBTI that one of our listeners requested on, so that is what we are going to be covering today. And for those who are new, these are just for fun. They are not meant to be taken as the gospel, and these are our analysis, definitely not meant to be canon of any shape or form. And even if you don't believe in MBTI, at the very least, I think you can agree that personality analysis can just be a really fun thing to do. So today with ISTJ, we are talking about people who are introverted, sensing, thinkers, and judging, which in reality really means a lot of planning, sort of following 1-3 sort of steps instead of being spontaneous. And this week we have a whole list of them, and... the list that I provided to the girls for them to choose from is Nanamin from JJK, Kageyama from Haikyuu, Takina from Licorice Recoil, Kunikida from Bungo Stray Dogs, Miko Ino from Kaguya-sama, Neji from Naruto, Arima Kosei from Your Lie in April, Horikata from Classroom of the Elite, Diana Cavendish from Little Witch Academia, Shizuka from Zan 100, Ginoza from Psycho Pass, and Fern from Frieren. So, of this, Agnes, for her comment was she totally sees how all of them are ISTJs, and I will say they are kind of distinct, strangely enough. And I don't know if it has to do with the fact that ISTJ MBTIs are statistically one of the more common ones to find, so maybe that's why they seem easy to notice, is because you see them a lot of times. Or if it's just there are some distinct things about them that really makes them stand out. But the first one that Isabel really wants to talk about is Ginoza from Psycho Pass. And she seems really excited to talk about Ginoza in that case. But some things about ISTJs that I think are pretty standard about them is that they are extremely by the book and by the rules. However, when they are by the book and by the rules, they do have to make sense, logically speaking. If it does not make logical sense in their heads, then they're not going to follow the rules. In fact, they're going to outright ignore the rules because they're like, the rules are stupid. I'm not following them because they're stupid. I'm going to make my own rules. But if the system in place currently has rules that make a lot of sense that they think logically chucks out, then they are sticklers to those kind of rules. They are known to be not so good with emotions, though that being said, they also love quite passionately and deeply. It's just, I think they kind of, and quite intensely for that matter, it's just it doesn't come off that way a lot of times because they are so blunt and direct in the way they talk. And they are the height of professionalism, as in they are very, very perfectionists at their work. Everything has to be right. Not a single thing has to be out of place, but they do work very, very hard because of that as well. So, and I know that perfectionism does drive certain people nuts, but if they're your coworker and you happen to be someone on a project that you're not very good at the perfectionism part, but you're better at the bigger picture part, you know, teaming up with them is actually really, really nice because, you know, as someone such as me, I don't like thinking about like the small details. So it hurts my head. So I always just gave it off to my ISTJ, a really good friend in college, and he would clean all that up for me and it felt great. So yeah, that is sort of some characteristics of the ISTJ. Isabel, why were you so excited about Ginoza? I know you're a huge fan of Psycho Pass, so I'm like, I guess that is one potential reason, but it just seems like you were like all caps sort of excitement.
Actually, I was more excited for you because I forgot. I think you liked Ginoza, so that's why I wanted to put him at the top of the list.
Oh, you were excited for me?
Yes, I was so excited for you.
What a wholesome friendship you guys have.
Agnes is like, I don't relate. No, I'm just joking. See, I totally thought, Isabel, you were going to choose Nanamin since you love him so much. I was very surprised you didn't pick him on this list.
Okay, yeah. I am more excited to talk about Ginoza over than Nanamin just because, I just feel like I didn't get enough screen time with Nanamin, so I can't really, like, if you told me he was an ISTJ, I would just kind of accept it, like, oh, I can see it type of thing. in terms of like little moments and things like that, I see there's less of him to talk about other than season one and season two, and then he's gone. So, but then Ginoza
forever.
Has, yeah, for so sad. Don't remind me. Oh yeah. But yeah, for Ginoza, there's a whole like season, like other seasons, and he changes his personality, I feel like. So that's why I wanted to talk about him.
Yeah, no. But I mean, Ginoza starts off, I think, as the very black and white ISTJ, you know, following the rules and being very mm-hmm. stickler about it and getting mad at your man for not being a stickler about it, you know, sort of thing. I think what's really interesting is that my friend I talked about from college, who is an ISTJ, he really connected with Ginoza. Ginoza's story arc in that show made him cry, because not only was their personality so similar in the way that, like, when a situation happens, like, he would say, like, he would think, we need to do this, and Ginoza would do exactly that, like, every single time without fail, to the point he was, that was after, like, 3 or 4 episodes of it, he started to get suspicious, and he was like, does he have my personality? But then on top of that, Ginoza's arc with his father in particular, and being very conflicted about his father, and coming to terms about the love he has for his father and the love that his father has for him, really, really got to my friend. Like, he said he cried watching it. So I think Ginoza's character development doesn't change him from an ISTJ. I do still think that he, you know, is very careful about following the rules, and he's very polite, and he does things in a very perfectionist way. But I think the caveat is his character development is realizing that the rules and system in place isn't logical, and he needs to make his own rules in place to follow in a logical sense. And that's a sort of I've read from other ISTJ people that that's sort of a character arc that, funnily enough, real life ISTJs kind of all go through, where they realize that the society system in place, it's not logical all the time, and they have to accept the fact that that's just a thing that happens, is that official rules in place aren't logical and you can't always follow them because it doesn't make sense to follow them anymore. And so I think that part of Ginoza's character development really really connects to the ISTJ even after the character development. And on the emotional development side of things, he is more openly affectionate, and he kind of actually is a bit of a troll at times when he is being silly and stuff. But I think that's just more about him coming to terms of who he is as well, because I've mentioned this before, ISTJs are actually very affectionate people, and they do love. They love deeply and passionately, and they actually have a hard time letting people go when they are in love with someone. And I think, you know, Ginoz is kind of like, he's kind of in denial about his own emotions towards his father, who he does love a lot, because his father broke those rules, and his father is, by extension, a sort of embarrassment to him for breaking those rules and stuff. But then realizing that being in denial of it was wasted time and a lot of wasted energy as well, and like embracing it for what it is. So, which is once again why it made my friend cry so much, because it reached him in a level that's like deeper than a lot of other things in the story. So, I think that's why, like, even after the character development, I do still believe he is an ISTJ. But what are your thoughts, I guess, Isabel, like seeing, hearing these characteristics and thinking about him even before character development and after character development?
Yeah, definitely before the character development, he was like textbook ISTJ type of character. And, you know, especially for his S type of thing, I thought could have been, you know, it could be confused with N as well. But ultimately, these types of people are looking for like logical evidence in real world type thing. Yeah. And so Ginoza definitely showcases that, right? He mm-hmm. needs to follow all the rules. And then, and so he was, you know, if you were following Akane, you were kind of annoyed with him. Like, he's like that type of, I guess, senior who's kind of wanting to do things the way that it should be, but then he doesn't really question it in a sense. Mm-hmm. Even though internally he probably is with his father. And then, like you said, during the character development, I think he really wanted that still kind of approval from his father for him being the way that he is.
Yeah.
But also just kind of getting that it's okay to be like this type of thing, or being accepting of rules being changed. So, but yeah, otherwise, yeah.
And Agnes, I know you didn't watch the full like franchise of Psycho Pass. Granted, I stopped midway as well, but Kinoza, I think is a pretty important character in the first season. So what did you think about him?
I definitely thought he embodies the ISTJ early traits very vividly.
Yeah.
He's also like, I think ISTJ is also, sorry to see your sirens in the back. The ISTJ trope in anime, I think, is probably one of the easiest ones to characterize as well, mm-hmm. to put like in a story or in a script writing, because you always need somebody who follows the rules. You always need somebody who's very by the book to be the oppositional force of the main character. Mm-hmm. So seeing Ginoza on screen was like, oh yeah, he's definitely an ISTJ. It is a necessary component of this story. And like you said before, the ISTJ is already very identifiable from the get-go too, because you see a lot of people in the real world who are also very by the book, does things by the rules, and they typically end up in jobs where the roles and the rules are very clearly defined. So
right. For
Ginoza, although Ginoza is technically, is he's not an enforcer, he's like the
he became one, unfortunately, after seeing his dad die, which is understandable, right. I think. So, mm-hmm.
But when you look at it in that way, like, it's law enforcement, and that law enforcement has rules mm-hmm. that you can't break.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
And we've seen ISTJs in other roles where typically in the job profession there are certain rules that they can't break, mm-hmm. or certain rules that make the job as it is. Mm-hmm. So things like, for example, accounting is very straightforward, very logical. Anything that doesn't have like room for interpretation, like mathematics, for example, is also another one. But something,
you know,
for example,
that, and I'm like, there are a lot of ISTJs in my office. I will say,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly, so. Exactly. And it's not so much about like the cleanliness, but the very almost anal factor of needing to follow those rules. Mm-hmm. But it's good that you have those people, because there's a reason why rules exist.
Right.
But yeah. Unfortunately, like you said before, yeah, you do need to learn how to like bend to the rules a little bit, because otherwise if you just keep following the rules up until a certain point, you're like, it's not even logical anymore. It doesn't work for everyone anymore. Right. So.
Alrighty. So the second character we have on our list is Kunikida from Mugo Stray Dogs. Definitely a more comedic version of the ISTJ.
Yes.
So
yes.
Especially with Dazai driving him absolutely nuts. So it sounds like no surprise for you, Agnes, at all.
Absolutely not. I think Kunikida would have become a Ginoza if he had never met Dazai.
Oh, that's interesting. Because
Dazai kind of pokes holes in a lot of Kunikida's logic.
Yeah.
And Dazai has a tendency to kind of say like, oh, by the way, your logic is kind of like, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And obviously Kunikida gets mad, because you would be mad if your ideals are being attacked, right? You feel very defensive. But there's a really great arc, I think, with Kunikida in Bungo Stray Dogs, where he has to confront the girl who's about to be blown up. Mm-hmm. And he fails. And then he realizes that his ideals are not ironclad, which is something that Dazai has been trying to tell him over and over again. It's like, ideals cannot be ironclad. They will always be broken. And there are so many things in life that will change, and you can never save one person. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I think Dazai acts as a really cool, but a much more subtle foil to Kunikida, as compared to more apparent foils like Akutagawa and our Tiger Boy. So I thought that was a really cool like type of like, you don't really see a lot of ISTJs pair up in anime per se, because they're usually very ostracized as like, oh, they're super anal, they don't do anything. But the pair up of Dazai, as we explained in the last MBTI episode, as the ENFP with the ISTJ, is very weirdly enough a very entertaining combination.
Oh yeah.
It's very entertaining, even though the two of them basically like they drive each other nuts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the foil is so good.
Yeah. Another thing I want to say, this is probably one of my favorite comedic moments of Kunikida. It's just way too iconic, but it's their insistence on remaining calm, even though they're not calm at all. But they
they're very panicky, yeah.
Yeah, they insist that they are calm. And it's the one where the Port Mafia was going to attack. This is like in the first four episodes of the first season. And he... and then he was, like, reading his book upside down while he was like, I am the perfect embodiment of calm. And also she's like, your book is upside down. Like, what are you talking about? And so, and then he, like, gets angry at Atsushi and snaps at him and was like, I am the perfect image of calm. I would beat them back like this and like this. And like it's like very much not a calm person, but he is just adamant that yes, he is the calm person. He's the logical, the calm person of this group. And it cracks me up because I really do feel like that ISTJs, like, it's like they have to will themselves to be calm, and if they're not, they just pretend that they are, because the very idea that they might not be calm or they might not be polite or anything like that just drives them nuts for some reason, and it just cracks me up so much. And I, like I said, I have a lot of personal experience with my friend and from college, and there was, like, one time where he was just angry. He was angry and like ranting and stuff, and it was about one of our group projects, not with just the two of us, there were other people involved as well, and he didn't like how the other person was pushing back to him. And then I was trying to like calm him down and everything, and he was like, it's not that I'm not calm, it's that the other person is wholly illogical. And I was like, sure, you're calm right now. Calm and logical, sure. So I just think of that every time I think of that scene in Kunikida where he was just like, I am totally calm, and then it's just freaking out, aka very much not calm. So now that I'm saying this, you know, I realize I didn't ask you guys. We can start with you, Isabel. Do you guys have any experience with ISTJs, like real life ISTJs?
Honestly, for me, not really. I think maybe it's probably good that ISTJs stay away from me, because I don't think they would like my personality too much.
Really? I don't think so either. No. Knowing them, yeah, I don't think they would like your personality. They wouldn't like me either.
Wait, and I
think,
wait, I need to know why. Why do you guys think that?
Because both the ISFP and the ISTP have a tendency to do things their own ways, and we have the ability to break rules when we need to.
Mm. Yeah, if it doesn't.
And that's the combination But that's the combination that you see with Kolgami versus Ginoza from Psycho Pass.
Right.
where Kolgami, who's the alleged ISTP, just does whatever the fuck he wants because he'll get the job done. For him, there is no rules except the end, which is the means to an end. Mm-hmm. He will do anything for the means to an end, even if he breaks rules or if there are no rules that apply. Ginoza, on the other hand, gets frozen or scared or nervous when there's no rules for the game.
Right.
So that's like the difference of why Ginoza and Kogami fight so much, is that Kogami will just go do his own thing.
You cannot forget also that Ginoza and Kogami were actually friends. Like
they were formally friends, yeah. Yes. And that's why like it can work to some degree if you both agree, like, okay, there are rules that we have to follow and rules that we don't need to follow. You have to establish that from the very beginning. But if it's like a very early conflict between like an ISFP and ISTP with an ISTJ, it can go pretty disastrous. And especially if both parties are very unknowing of the other type or not very self-aware and correcting themselves, mm-hmm. then it can get pretty nasty. I can definitely see that.
Okay. I mean, okay, so then, Isabel, do you agree with Agnes's analysis?
Yes, and also on a smaller level as well, because I know myself, if I feel like the ISTJ type, and I think you see this with Kunikida, like kind of the need to organize things and detailed schedule, like we need to be here at this time, why didn't you tell me that we had this planned, or
yes.
You missed this meeting. I'm probably gonna be the one who's like, yeah, I missed that meeting, sorry about that, and it'll happen again and again, and they will not be happy with me doing that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, I think with the ISTJ, it also very much boils down to time and how to book to time as well. Mm. Versus like ISTP and ISFP, we can manage with schedules because we're all functioning adults. Mm. We figure out how schedules work. We can put time into it. But if you try to control us to like down to the very second, to the very millisecond, that's going to really tick us off.
Got it. Alrighty this, so let's go ahead and move on to one of my favorite, actually, examples of ISTJs, and it is Shizuka from ZOM 100. A quick tidbit is that actually, and statistically, right now, and I am saying right now because obviously things can change in the future, ISTJs are mostly men, and then there's a smaller percentage that are women. And I did think it was pretty interesting that I was able to quite easily find female characters who are ISTJs amongst the male characters, so that was really nice, actually, to see that. Despite the fact that statistically it tends to skew more towards one gender than the other. But Shizuka is honestly one of my favorite representations of the ISTJ ZOM 100 thing. And we see that very early on about like her making the list on how to best survive and such like that. But how do you guys feel about her, you know, after character development? Do you guys kind of have the same question that, you know, Isabel had about whether, you know, you don't think she's an ISTJ anymore after her character development, or do you guys still think she is one?
That's a really good question. I think she exhibits a lot less of the ISTJ traits, because I think the worst part is that Shizuka is in a an apocalyptic situation.
Right.
There are no rules whatsoever.
Yeah.
All rules are broken. Society's is completely destroyed. There's no rule and regulation. Everything is just running wild. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point in Shizuka, after her character development, she kind of turns off her brain on being a stickler to rules and writing guides and learning to kind of enjoy herself with her company, mm-hmm. while trying to simultaneously survive as well. Mm-hmm. So as compared to other ISTJs that have the character development of like, oh, rules can be broken, but then they kind of have, like, some figments left of their ISTJ personality. I see a lot less of that in Shizuka, but it might just be because ZOM 100 ends on a very happy note, and them just doing fun random things while also simultaneously not thinking and trying to survive a zombie apocalypse.
Got it. And what about you, Isabel?
Yeah, I think in the end, she might turn, like, her J into a P, just because I feel like the rest of her party crew members are P's, in a sense, and living in
They're
that type
all
of
world. P's. Yeah. That is a definite. I cannot see. Well, maybe the comedian guy might be more of a J at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Only because they used to work a job in clientele business. And you do have to be a lot more organized than spontaneous. But definitely his more base personality feels more of a P, if anything else, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, otherwise, I feel like if she was left alone, like if she never met them, then she might be that. She will still like...
She would definitely be a J.
Yeah. And then she would just kind of make up her own rules at that point and stick to them as much as she can. And kind of go on with that solo type of energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a sense, she almost feels like an ISTP type of character. I feel like she could be the main character.
She almost felt like that too, right? And then the moment when I saw her pop up a spreadsheet on how to survive a zombie attack, I was like, okay, no girl, you're not my kid. Sorry. I love Shizuka, but she cannot be my kid if you're going to pop open an Excel sheet on how to survive a zombie apocalypse. You just got to go, girl.
Yeah, okay, so this is really interesting because I think after character development, she is still very much an ISTJ. And I think it's a mature ISTJ who sort of embraced who she actually is. So one fun fact about ISTJs, and something that, once again, my real life friend constantly validates, he's pretty extreme on his letters, is they really inherently wish they can have fun, but they have trouble making the first move always. And it's just like, I think it's really fascinating because I don't know, like, to me it's very fascinating that they desperately want to have fun and they desperately want to be spontaneous, but it's almost like they don't know how. Like something
there's no guide on how to be happy.
Right, exactly. And so
there's no step-by-step of how do you greet. If anything, what an ISTJ needs is a WikiHow.
Yeah.
There are tons of WikiHows about, like, how do you befriend somebody? How do you fix a bike? Things like that. They need something like that in order to form the societal connection. But because there is no real guide, because all connections and relationships can happen very randomly, I can understand why they get very lost in that.
Yeah, so what's really interesting is that ISTJs in real life tend to actually latch on to someone who is extremely spontaneous and fun because they're depending on the other person to guide them into that sort of fun and spontaneity threshold that they seem incapable of reaching on their own.
And so, like, Dazai and Kunikida.
Huh? Oh, yep, that's Dazai and Kunikida. I'll even say my best friend's parents, one of them is an ISTJ, very, very, like, strict ISTJ. Her husband is literally the prankster, the jokester, the ENTP who doesn't listen to anything or anybody.
No.
They're excellent as a couple. They have a very successful marriage with each other, for that matter. And you'd think that they never get along because of the fact that one is just so chaotic and the other one is so by the rules, by the book. But they work amazingly because the ENTP constantly leads the ISTJ to the fun, to the spontaneity that the ISTJ actually wants to have but seem incapable of finding or reaching on their own. So I think Shizuka, after character development, is the perfect example of an ISTJ, but one that went through that character development, that went through that maturity, because she found that person, or she found those people who drew her into that fun and spontaneity that she deep down wishes that she had, that she deeply wanted. And so that's why she's participating in the jokes and the fun things as well. And the reality is because she actually wants to. She deeply wants to, but she just has trouble getting there on her own. And she needs someone to kind of, like, guide her to it, which ties into what you were saying, Agnes, and I do think that's a really good point. Like, I do feel like ISTJ is kind of like having a WikiHow for everything, and it's like, you can't really have a WikiHow on how to have fun, you know? That's just not possible. And so they do kind of depend on other people to help them there, but that is a genuine, like, secret thing about ISTJs, is that they desperately wish that they could have fun and be spontaneous. They just struggle with it, and oftentimes they latch onto someone who is that way, that helps them reach that point. So that's a big part of Shizuka that I see reflected in her, that I think is very poignant to her character and to ISTJs as a whole. A fun fact, my college friend has straight up admitted that, like, he does regret spending so much of his college life studying and doing things by the spreadsheet, as Agnes would say. He did wish he had more fun and stuff, but it's like looking back now and he can't redo it, sort of thing. And it's also because he didn't find the people to kind of drag him out into that spontaneity in the first place. So yeah, it's a little fun tidbit about ISTJs, which is also why I was like, I'm not sure. Like, I'm like, maybe I'm like, ISTJs, I think maybe they could potentially like you guys. Maybe definitely not in a work setting. I won't deny that. I think you guys would drive them nuts in a work setting, but
yeah, in a work setting, most definitely.
But I'm like, in a much more casual setting, I'm like, I can actually see you guys being the one to draw them into that spontaneity they desperately wish they had, but just seem incapable of reaching. So yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
And that actually leads us right into Arima Kose from Your Lie in April, for that matter. And I think Arima Kose is a little different because he is younger than a lot of the people on this list. And also he's much, much more, I think, well, I guess Ginoza gets traumatized, but like from a young age, pretty traumatized, and also in a much more contemporary setting as well. But with Arima Kose, he even, obviously his personality probably has the most likelihood of changing simply because of his age. I think he was only in, like, middle school, right, in the anime? Like, not even high school yet.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of propensity of changing. But as it was in the series itself, he is an ISTJ, and his biggest element is his sort of stuck in the past situation where he's kind of like strictly holding on to the past and holding on to what had happened in the past, and thus that was how the system was supposed to be. So now that the system is gone, he's having trouble, like, you know, replacing the system or creating his own system, like we talked about. ISTJs, they, and I think, you know, Agnes, your guy probably complained about his guy once, where it was like he has a tendency of keep remembering something in the past, and it's kind of like defining everything he does. Yeah.
Yes, I've definitely, the person I'm dating has definitely grieved to me about how potentially ISTJ coworkers use mistakes that has happened in the past at work and unwittingly project it onto future projects. And it definitely drives my significant other nuts about that.
I don't know. How do you feel about that, Agnes?
For me, because I'm also a T, understand it on both fronts.
I was like, you guys do share some things, you know, the T part, so.
Yeah, I understand it because for me as an ISTP, everything in the world to me kind of revolves around like survival, in the most crudest of sense. But like, in especially like Animal Kingdom type of thing, if you touch like something poisonous, if something hurt you in the past, you don't want to repeat it because you're going to hurt yourself and you're just going to die, right? That's how it works in the Animal Kingdom. And that's how it works in work too, where it's like, if you did something bad or you had a bad repercussion that happens, you want to avoid having that happen again, because it can basically open up a can of worms. You can get demoted. You can get fired. A lot of things can happen. It can be very disastrous for the company you work in, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so you hold yourself to a very high standard of making sure you do things as perfectly as possible in accordance to the rules. But at the same time, in comparison to ISTJs, ISTPs are a lot more grounded and realize like there is an intersection between past, present, and future. And that you cannot project everything that you learned from the past into the future because you don't really know for certain that it will actually exist. You don't know if that problem will ever even arise again. And you just have to be able to be flexible with changes in the future. So then that's why I'm kind of like in the in-between of like, yes, I understand like it's good to be cautious. It's good to be wary of problems that happened in the past. But you should not let that wholly influence you into what you do in the future, because otherwise you just become scared and cautious and paranoid, and nobody wants to be like that. That is a detriment to work, that is a detriment to life, and there's no fun in that either.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you see that struggle in Arima Kose, right? That was his main
struggle. Oh, absolutely, because he gets so scared about if he touches the piano again, someone's going to die. Which, yes, in a way, yes, someone else died at the end of your lie in April. But then he realizes
that's a bad point, yeah.
It's a bad point, I know, I'm sorry. I had to make a bit of a black humor joke there. But at the end of the series, as much as I didn't actually watch your lie in April, I know what happens at the end, he understands that those two events are not correlated with one another. He's not a curse. He's not some, you know, horrible human being that will make people die at his feet because he touches music again. But he realizes that there are things out of his control and that he just needs to accept it. But they're not the same event. And it's not because of him. He can't blame himself for it. So, yeah.
Right. And I also think he illustrates the more positive sides of ISTJs as well. You know, I talked about it earlier. ISTJs do love quite passionately and are affectionate and quite intensely, for that matter. And you see it with Arima, not just with like his mom, who, you know, was pretty abusive, but it was like with his new friends, why did her name fly away? I just saw her name fly away from my brain. The girl, what was the girl's name? Agnes, help.
I mean, you're
Kaori?
Kaori.
Yes, or... Kaori, thank you. I knew it would start with a K. I was like, I watched the K and the rest just flew away.
Grace is like, come back, and she's trying to like grab the letters as they fly away from her.
I legitimately, it was like metaphorically in my head, I was like, no, come back, don't disappear on me like this. But yeah, his passion towards Kaori and stuff, so, and his passion ultimately towards piano at the end of the day, he does love piano, and it is very important to him, and I think it's just like, and that is a type of love that ISTJs have, and thankfully, it. thankfully, from what I've seen of ISTJ anime characters, most people seem to understand that, like, that these people do have deeply emotional and intense feelings. It's just they might not emote it, or they might be in denial about it is all it is, but in reality, they are very loving people, so that's great to see as well. But Arima in particular, I think, also really showcases that because of his overall character arc in the story as well. Isabel, you kind of set the tone in regards to the list this time because you chose, and then Agnes basically signed off all of them. So what did you think? What did you think seeing his name, and how do you feel about him being an ISTJ?
No, yeah, I definitely agree with what you all had said. And I think pigging back off of what you had said earlier about the him or like them loving you know, people or what they do, I think a lot of people on this list, you would agree, similar to Kosei, that they're very devoted to their work. And you can't really see them changing their profession in any way, or if they do change to another profession, they're gonna go like 100% on it,
right?
Yes. And then the other thing that I find funny, just one of the things that popped out, is like, if they're so devoted that they're so devoted to something that they don't, sometimes they don't even notice what's going on around them.
Right.
Like Kosei, he was like a prodigy basically, right, in piano. And so many kids hated him for that. They basically wanted him to know, like, hey, you're ruining my place in piano. Like, I want first, but you're always getting first, type of thing. But he doesn't even know that. And he also is kind of oblivious to his childhood friend, Tsubaki, who likes him too. So,
right, yeah.
When they're in the zone, yeah, they might not notice anything around them.
Exactly. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and move on to our next one, our beloved Kageyama from Haikyuu. Kageyama, I love Haikyuu for many reasons. One of them is they give me easy pickings for MBTI, and so they all embody their types really, really well. But I also think they bring a lot of nuance to them as well. Are any of you guys surprised to see him on this list?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, but I really can't pinpoint like Kageyama's like personality or what type of nuance you might be going for, because other than his like technical volleyball skills and, you know, his like him sticking to the rules, I can't really name anything else. So I'm curious what you had for him.
I have a whole list, but Agnes, do you have some that you'd want to answer Isabel on?
About, like, the things that Kageyama does.
Yeah, that's beyond just, like, following the rules and the volleyball technical things.
I think just having fun is the main one. Like, he's so awkward and incapable of getting super buddy-buddy with the rest of the team that he'll just be, like, sometimes in the corner of some of the Haikyuu seasons, you'll have, like, Asahi or Sugawara or Daichi. They're the more emotionally available of the guys. You know, they'll come in for, like, a hug or, like, a high five. They're like, yeah, they're very supportive. And then you just have Kageyama in the corner being like, oh, with, like, a little, like, fist bump and, like, solidarity. But he's, like, so far off camera and in the background that you just kind of laugh at how awkward he is. Like, he does not celebrate with them. He is there, but he doesn't know how to emote it as well, unless someone like Hinata goes up and gives him like a hug or like a slap on the back, or even worse, Tanaka slapping him too many times on the back. And that's how they end up including him. And Kageyama just kind of gets used to it. But overall, like, he's just literally in the corner of the camera just raising a fist bump in solidarity.
I think what you're also thinking of is probably in the second season when they were freaking out about meat, and it's like Nishinoya, Tanaka, and Hinata with their whole dance move, remember, where they're literally dancing, and then he's just awkwardly like moving side to side. He's trying his best, but he's not quite there. Like, that's
no, crazy, not quite so. There yet.
No,
we love our awkward king though.
Yeah, that's a really good example. My main example I want to talk about is, to answer your question, Isabel, is how seriously Kageyama took the fact that his teammates no longer wanted to listen to him in middle school.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I definitely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know that, it means a lot to him. In fact, it kind of scares him And that's the thing with ISTJs. They are so direct and blunt. Sometimes they can come off as harsh. but there is no actual malice in their words. They are truly just saying it from a black and white point of view. It's just they come off as harsh. And I know this because it's, you know, anyone who has a family member that's an ISTJ, not a toxic ISTJ. There are differences between a non-toxic and a toxic one. But a non-toxic ISTJ, anyone who's friends or family with them, you all know that they'll sometimes say things so blunt to the core that it can be accidentally offensive to other people, but they didn't get it. Like, they just straight up, they're not trying to offend anyone. They're not trying to even be harsh. They're just trying to be as direct as possible. And they're oftentimes a little confused when other people are hurt. And so it was very shocking for him when his middle school teammates turned on him. He didn't understand and didn't know what he did wrong. Like, he couldn't understand it. And so a lot of the first season was him trying to figure that out, and it really hits home to him, and he's very careful about it. There's, like, a part where, you know, he basically told Suga, was like, you should be the main setter on the court, and Kageyama's like, no, you should, like, senpai, like, you should be the one on the court, and Suga's like, you're clearly better than me, you know, sort of thing. And then Kageyama's like, well, but you, like, you have everyone's, you know, respect, and you have every, and you command everyone, and you understand everyone, and you, people listen to you. And he's like, and I haven't done that yet. I haven't earned my team members' respect. And he got really awkward and honestly a little sad, because he knows that that's the fact, and that's kind of what ruined things for him in middle school. And Suga had the cute moment where he's like, oh, he's taking, like, what happened in middle school really seriously. Like, it's still hitting him, and it's, like, it still matters to him, sort of thing. That's such, like, that's an ISTGA thing. And it goes back to everything, right? It goes back to how they really careful about what happened in the past and trying to make sure they don't make the same mistakes. It's about the fact that they do feel quite intensely. They're just not very good at emoting it, or maybe even understanding it themselves. And it also goes back to the fact that they want to do things right. That's what it is at the end of the day. And in Kageyama's eyes, he did something wrong, and he's trying to figure out now how to do it right in this case. And so that scene kind of solidifies everything for me. And it, and that his sort of, like, error in middle school shows up a lot. In the fourth season, there was a moment where he freaked out on his team members, and he got really, really scared. Like, that poor baby got, like, terrified that there is new team members that he's now really good friends with are just going to turn away from him. You know, if forgetting the fact that by this point, his teammates have been playing with him for quite some time now and really understand where he is coming from. So Kageyama, you know, it really, really matters to him about ensuring that the team and him are still working out well. It is obviously also a very sensitive topic to him. So that's sort of the huge nuanced ISTJ part that I think is just so important to Kageyama's character, and I really, really, really liked seeing. So yeah, that's my answer to you, Isabel.
No, yeah, that's really good, because I feel like I had forgotten that thing, because it happened so early on and we focused on other characters, that Kageyama's development happened very early, or, you know, what had held him back earlier when we met him was exactly that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, and fun fact, Hinata's also an ENFP, so ENFP ISTJ tag up here. But their fight was also, I think, so central to who they are as characters. So remember how they lost the match against Seijo Aoba Jose in the first season? Yeah, the first season. And essentially, Kageyama still wants to continue what they've been doing. And Hinata freaks out on him and was like, what we've been doing isn't working. We have to try something new. And they had a huge fight over it. Classic ENFP ISTJ clash, just classic right here. So that's another thing I wanted to note as well, with Kageyama being an ISTJ. Okay, so now we are moving on to Takina from Licorice Recoil. I personally really love Takina. What about you two?
I love her.
Takina too.
Yeah. Okay, so I remember that, you know, when we saw the database has decided that she's an INTJ, both Agnes and I were very like, no. So what were your thoughts in regards to that, Agnes?
She doesn't strike me as INTJ. Mm-hmm. I know we haven't covered the actual INTJ MBTI here in Girl Talku, mm-hmm. but based on your stories of people that you know who are INTJ, I'm like, kind of like, no, it doesn't really work. Because the thing with INTJ is like, they're so stubborn about their knowledge and what they know that they will visibly get very angry. But ISTJs don't really have that anger and defensiveness for the knowledge that they have. ISTJ almost feels like they're slightly more fluid in obtaining knowledge and changing their information if they know it. I think they just have a slightly better time adjusting to it rather than an INTJ.
Okay.
Yeah, and like you definitely the ISTJ,
don't see that anger in Takina, which is true.
I don't see that anger in Takina because Takina, so the whole core about Takina's story is like, it's very similar to Kageyama. They made decisions that did not bode well with their teammates mm-hmm. and causes a division between them. And instead of Takina being defensive and blaming her teammates, which her teammates are also very toxic in their own right and kind of blame each other,
yeah.
Takina doesn't blame them. She kind of accepts the fact that, yes, it was her fault,
yeah.
and she did things that were right and things that were wrong, and just leaves it as is and moves on. Versus if it was a real INTJ in that type of scenario, the INTJ, I feel like, would blow up, or they would try to fight back because
calling them incompetent, calling them stupid.
Yeah. The ISTJ will not outrightedly call someone incompetent or stupid. They might think that,
yeah.
but then they also feel like, oh, well, it was my fault too because I didn't know how to handle it kind mm-hmm. of thing. There's a weird like reflectiveness in the ISTJ in that regard.
Got it. Okay, so that was your thought process.
Yeah.
Mine came from a very specific scene. So unfortunately, as both of you guys know, I'm very vibe-based. So I'm like, vibes, it's just not INTJ, it's much more ISTJ. But aside from showing the typical things of, wanting to do things one step at a time, letting there be a schedule, and then, of course, in Takina's case, though, it's her own rules, following her own rules and such on what is logically correct or what should be. It was a particular scene where, you know, she realizes that Chisato's in trouble and she decides to leave the team, even though she got invited back to the team, which is what she was hoping for this entire time. And so she decides to leave. And when the other team members call her out, she stops and formally and very politely apologizes for choosing to ditch them, but proclaims that this is something that she needs to do. And then she thanks them for, you know, dealing with her for all these years, and then gets the blessings from her former teammates and in regards to rescuing Chisato because of that. And then she leaves. I thought, to me, that's so indicative of ISTJ's professionalism and sort of their politeness. One thing about ISTJs is, which is funny because I just talked about how they can be harsh and blunt, but they are, they strangely enough do hold themselves to be professional in many ways, especially when it's not with people who are like family members. Family members, they're, you know, much more relaxed, but family members that they're close to. Well, let me go ahead and change that, because those family members they're not close to, they're still going to retain that sort of professionalism. And so I think, and there's like a level of responsibility that ISTJs really hold deeply to themselves. And I think, and for an INTJ in that moment, if they've already decided that that's what they're going to do and that's like the right thing, they're not going to bother doing that whole spiel. They're not going to say like, thank you for bearing with me, I apologize for this, please allow me to do this, you know, and I will be doing it no matter what, but it means a lot to me that if you guys can approve of it, like, no. TJs aren't going to do that. They're going to be gone by the time you turn around. And so they're not going to bother communicating that so politely and professionally. And I do think that is an element of ISTJs, is that they are very professional in what they do. No matter the circumstance, they will be polite and they will be professional. So that scene is like my most like obvious evident scene. And I also think it's just so like, and you wouldn't be, and you're not surprised at all to see Takina do something like that. Like, Takina doing that, you're just like, that's Takina. That's exactly what she does. But it's like, I think that's the most explicit evidencing that I saw in regards to the difference between INTJs and ISTJs. Because once again, I tend to operate on vibes, unfortunately. So, Yeah. Okay, Isabel. You know, Agnes and I, we really love Licorice Recoil. So we've talked about it before, and also there's an MBTI chat that we also discussed extensively of the two girls. So, so I never really heard your thoughts. Were you surprised at all to see Takina on this list? What do you think about her as an ISTJ?
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised to see her on the list as well, and pretty much everything you said. I really like Licorice Recoil as well. So seeing Takina was very nice, and yeah, like you said, I thought she might be more, you know, kind of mean in a sense, but she really isn't. Like you said, she's very professional, and I didn't expect that from her. I feel like I could have disliked her if she didn't do that. But the fact that she was being respectful, and the fact that when she joined like the cafe later on and met everyone else, I thought it was really cool to see her in that type of setting. Like, she's still trying to also like stick to what she needs to do, but then she's, you know, in there, she's not, you know, always causing a fight or anything. She actually tries to follow what everyone else is trying to do and yes. trying to keep that harmony. Yeah. So I thought that was nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing about INTJs as like a converse, like a contrast is like the INTJ would just be on their own. They're fine solo. The ISTJ, oddly enough, needs to be in a group. Mm-hmm. So that's just my take.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like we're in perfect agreement. Not much more to discuss about her, huh?
No, not for Takina. But I do have something to say for our next person.
Oh, okay. So our next person is Fern from Frieren. Take it away then, Agnes.
Yeah, so when I saw Fern, actually, I think Fern was the first one where I looked at that list and I'm like, she's an ISTJ. And I had to sit there for a couple seconds and being like, okay, and actually also listening to this entire podcast while we were listing off the things that ISTJs do and don't do, and I was like, I'm starting to warm up to Fern being an ISTJ. I thought Fern was more of an, what was it what we were just talking about? The ISFJ? Was that what we were talking about earlier? I'm, for some reason, losing my train of
thought. We've talked about ISFJ before, yes.
No, not ISFJ, sorry. INTJ, sorry. I thought Fern might have been very INTJ.
Itself. Okay, got it.
I think it's kind of like, but it's because my brain kept missing up how like Fern kind of treats Stark very coldly as their affectionate measure towards people. And I was kind of like, that's very INTJ behavior for some reason. But then I look at how Fern interacts with other people outside of her circle, and I'm like, oh no, that's an ISTJ.
Got it. Okay, you know what? Yeah. That is a good point though. I completely understand your logic and what you were thinking of with the INTJ.
Right, because like Fern treats, sometimes she treats Stark like and sometimes you kind of wonder yourself, you're like, do they even like each other? No, she treats him like because she cares, right? Mm-hmm. But like, and then she pouts, she manipulates him sort of into getting him to do what she wants without vocalizing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's kind of INTJ in some aspects where they're a little bit socially manipulative with that in regards. But then when you look at how Fern treats, you know, Sign, or how she treats Sayre, or how she treats anybody else that she meets, including Heiter, she's very much very polite, apologizes, says that she'll change things, or like will do things on behalf of Frieren. Like, she's very formal about that. Versus the INTJ, weirdly enough, does not have the filter between the two people.
Also, I think, and I hate to say this, I think Frieren would drive an INTJ nuts.
Oh, absolutely, because Frieren does whatever the fuck she wants.
And INTJs are like, I am not here to baby you. Like, I am not here to take
Fern has definitely, like, grown to mother Frieren almost, because she also respects Frieren quite a bit. Mm-hmm. That she's like, okay, yeah, I'll do this. Like, this is not a big deal anymore. But yeah, and a real INTJ would have off the first, like, 15 minutes of getting to know Frieren. If Frieren goes running off to go see a mimic, the INTJ is like, okay, you can go die now. Bye.
Yeah,
and just
exactly.
leave. The INTJ would not be a part of the Heroes Party. The INTJ would not be part of the Successors Party. They're alone. They're alone. they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you shared that with you because I totally see exactly where your thought process is coming from. And I think it's funny because it's like that small element kind of throws a wrench in thing, but then you look at the big picture and you're like, "Oh, wait. I see something else now." So.
Yeah. It's because we see such an intimate picture of Fern with the rest of the cast that you think she's an INTJ, mm-hmm. but when you look at the broader perspective of how she interacts with strangers, which I think in most of the other series that we've mentioned so far, we see the ISTJ interact with both stranger and intimate. Mm-hmm. But for Frieren in particular, it's the first season is very intimate. It's just her and Frieren, mm-hmm. her and Stark. And so you have a very different perspective on what Fern is actually like until you get to season two during the mage candidate arc that you're like, oh no, she's an ISTJ, absolutely.
And Isabel, what about you on seeing Fern on this list?
Yeah, I can see her ISTJ traits, especially if you look back kind of like her past with how she grew
with Heiter.
Yes, I think that was kind of like a defining moment for her, and the fact that she never really had, you know, like her parents growing up or something like that. And so I really like how her character was written, and she had to become really mature. So I think that's probably what's a little bit confusing, is that she's still like a teenage girl in a sense, but she acts really mature. So that's why I actually kind of confused her with ISFJ in a sense, because she's so in tune with, I guess, people around her type of thing, or depending on what the situation is and how she interacts
molds,
with people.
She molds herself to the people around her, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, ultimately she still displays those traits, and I think it's great that you can see all these different sides to her depending mm-hmm. on who she's with. So
mm-hmm. yeah, I also really love her relationship with Heiter and where it's affected her morals, because like she obviously is gets mad at Sign for, you know, womanizing. We're not women, but like gambling and all that stuff. But Sign is not a womanizer, but he gambles and everything. But then, you know, but the Frieren would remind Fern to, hey, Heiter was an alcoholic. Like, he drank a lot of alcohol. And she would be like, some alcohol is good for you, you know, like, and it's very, like,
she on the spot, she just made up her own rule,
yeah,
just so that she could defend Heiter. I think that was the funniest thing, is like, yeah, there are some ways where they're like, alcohol is good for you in the sense of like, in the medical sense, but like, entirely, she just made up that rule just so that she could be defensive of Heiter.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, and Fern loves very deeply. you feel it even now as you watch the series. Like, Heiter was, you know, her father figure. She loves him a lot. Even with him gone, she loves him. And it's just like, it's kind of touching to see, like, you know, with priests and stuff, she is the rule stickler. Like, anything else with a sign, like doing stuff that priests shouldn't do, she's like looking down and being condescending. But then the second it's about alcohol, she's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like that sort of thing. So it's I find that very endearing about her, because she is still young, of course, and it's just nice to see that sort of like love she holds so dearly for her father figure. So yeah. Alrighty, well, I think that sums up our ISTJ anime characters analysis. Any final thoughts about this particular type? How do you guys feel about him? Like, dislike, mid?
I thought it was going to be mid, to be honest, because I was just like, okay, these characters are so predictable. But as we continue going down the list, I found myself enjoying it a lot more. Like, for example, like the confusion between like a Fern being an INTJ versus like an ISTJ mm-hmm. or like an ISFP. And then when we started talking about a little bit more deeper, like, for example, like Kageyama and Takina's troubles, where they want to be integrated into a group and they're so paralyzed by their past that they can't feel like they can't continue. Or even earlier when we were talking about how Yeah, no, that's it. I just lost my train of thought. I'm losing my train of thought in every single conversation today. That's wonderful. I'm usually not like this. I am very absent-minded today.
No, you're totally fine. What about you, Isabel? How do you feel about iced TJs now?
No, yeah, I was very excited to talk about them a little bit more. Just because, yeah, on the list, I thought they were all kind of like the same. But like Agnes said, there are definitely differences to them and they have different stories. So I'm glad we talked about them. Mm-hmm.
Do we have time to talk about Nanamin?
Okay. No, unfortunately.
No,
not.
Okay. I was like looking at Isabel, like, do we have time to talk about Nanamin? But
do
yeah,
you
no.
see the ISTJ Nanamin, Isabel?
Maybe.
Oh, she's so okay. We don't have time anymore. Maybe that'll be its own separate episode, which it ends with both me and Isabel crying. But. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this particular topic. And we will be going on hiatus for the next month. Both girls are going to be traveling, so going to make it a little difficult to try to replace both of them in regards to the Girl Taku episode. But in the meantime, we will be catching up on transcripts and then, you know, so you guys can actually read alongside what we're saying. So I hope you guys look forward to that. But other than that, we will see you guys in June. So bye, guys.
Bye-bye, bye, everyone.